Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Southern Equipment and Parts in Laurel is your go-to spot for all things tractor and heavy equipment. From sales to service and even locating that hard-to-find part, we can handle it all. We even have rentals. For all your tractor and heavy equipment needs, visit Southern Equipment in Laurel or call 601-651-4555.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, here we go. Monday edition of the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Bob, Kelly, Dima, we're all in the Southern Bancorp studio here in Hattiesburg. We're glad you're with us. Head football coach Will Hall joins us every Monday. Lee Roberts will be on the show in just a bit. Opening segment sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit. Great supporters of Southern Miss. Great place to take your family. Good meal anytime you want to go down there, and a great place to cater your next event. Before we get to football, I do want to make an announcement, Coach, and that is that after years and years of his little frou-frou wine Switzer drinks and the martinis with the little olives, Kelly manned up and drank a Pabst Blue Ribbon beer Saturday afternoon, and he's a better man for it, Coach Hall.
Well, I agree with that, and you know, Kelly, that's going to be the final thing that gets us over the hump here. We're fixed to go on a run.
That was it.
Well, you guys are going on a run, Coach, and the PBR gave me the runs at about.
Oh, gosh.
Thanks for sharing that, Kelly.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry about that.
What an opener.
That is a thought that'll put our listeners in their minds for the rest of the day.
Sorry about that.
Sorry I brought that up, Coach. That was a mistake on my part.
Yeah.
All right, Coach.
So I always count on Kelly.
That's the truth. That's the truth. All right. I know things are frustrating for you, Coach. You know, here's a night where the football team cleaned up the turnover problem. The two things that jump out at me, and you just tell me if I'm a dumb fan looking at it, were 5 sacks, quarterback under a lot of pressure Saturday night. And then time of possession, 41-35 to 18-10. I thought that was the difference of the football game.
Yeah, you know, we have 7 categories, Bob, that we kind of talk about in our plan to win that, you know, is kind of traditional. You know, we got a lot of them from the Ravens. But, you know, we've won the middle 8, the last 4 minutes of the first half, first 4 seconds, 1-7-0. If the fake punt counts, we're going to win it by more than that. We were 2 of 2 in the red zone on touchdowns. We held them to 1 of 5 in the red zone. 4 field goals, which is great. Explosive plays. We had 6. They had 5. You know, we lost the turnover takeaway 1-0 at the very end of the game. The big thing for us and what you're talking about was third down and fourth down conversions. They were 9 of 16. In 16 opportunities, whether it was third or fourth down, they were 9 of 16. We were 1 of 8. Now, you know, we had – the big thing for us was some of those questionable calls were all on conversion attempts. You know, from the fake punt to the pass we completed to Kyron Heath over the middle, which would have got us at midfield in a 1-score game and rolling, that they said we were in an illegal formation, which we were not. The receiver that they said covered the tight end was a whole yard, a yard and a half off the ball. You know, to the to the drop pass on the other third down. We've got to make those conversion attempts. That keeps us on the field offensively, and it keeps our defense off the field. And then defensively, we were 6 of 6 defensively in 3rd and 5 or more, but we were 3 of 11 in 3rd and 4 or less. We've got to get in more 3rd and long situations to give us better opportunities. And then the 7th and final thing we look at is off-schedule plays by the quarterback. Like I told y'all last week, they've got a really good quarterback. I got a lot of respect for him. He made some really good off-schedule plays to keep some things alive, and we just have not done that this year. We've made very few off-schedule plays at quarterback. You know, the last 2 weeks, our quarterbacks have had, you know, lower extremity injuries, all 3 of them, that have really kept us from moving. A lot of our sacks this week were due to that too. And I think you're going to see – I think we're going to see us improve that a lot this week. I think the kids we're going to play this week are going to be able to make off-schedule plays. We're not going to get sacks like that as much, and then we're going to be able to add some value. You know, we've been able to move around and extend plays. But we, you know, I thought defensively we have a really good offense, number one offense in this league. We held them to 23 points. We struck and we eliminated space. We're much better against the run. We tackled much better, played great red zone defense. We still need to get a takeaway. We had some opportunities right there to get a tip pass and a few things. If we were just an inch or two here or there, we might could have created a takeaway, which would have been big. Special teams-wise, we were awesome in our punt game. We averaged 44 yards net. You know, punt return, people continue to kick away from Ty Mims. So we were a plus 11 in yardage when we punted to when they punted. Our kickoff return team, JQ popped one out past the 30 one time, which was good. And then our kickoff cover team, which versus one of the best kickoff returners in the country, you know, we opened up the game, really getting after them right there. And then our young kicker on our other two, he kicked them to the middle of the field instead of kicking it deep left, which kind of put us in a bind, but we rallied down there and got it down. So another good day in the kicking game. We missed an extra point, which is inexcusable. But another good game for our coverage units, return units. And defensively, like I said, we fit the run better. We got to be better on third down. And offensively, we got to get our quarterback involved more in the run game. We got to get our quarterback involved in some off-schedule plays. And we've got to convert on third down to keep us on the field. And that's certainly something I think that we're going to do better this week, something we're going to work on. But obviously the health of our guys that will be taking the snaps are going to be factoring into that a lot.
Coach, I have two questions for you. First, after the game, you talked to us about how you had to go check the tape on some of those questionable calls you just mentioned. Did you have a chance to go back and look at them? You don't have to comment on them if you don't want to. I'm just curious if you had a chance to go back and look at them.
I did. And, you know, Dima, man, here's the deal. We've got to be good enough to overcome it, and we wasn't the other night. Hmm. Whether you know, it is what it is. We had plenty of opportunities to win that game. And we didn't make the plays to win it. You know, we had opportunities to convert. We had opportunities to stay on the field. And, you know, it just, there were some critical calls that went against us that were at conversion attempts. You know, so they were game-swinging times. And we've got to play better in those situations in order to get those calls and in order to win a game. It's a really good football team. You know, that played really well at quarterback. I got a lot of respect for their quarterback, man. There's very few quarterbacks that are good in college football. Like, I mean, really good. Like, good players that function and can play. That dude was good.
Yeah, and I wanted to ask about your defense because I really felt like they took a turn, especially from a tackling perspective and in the secondary perspective. You know, they held this offense to 23 points only and gave your offense several chances to win the game, as you said, only 6 points after the second half. Is that kind of how you envision this defense coming into the season, how they displayed on the field on Saturday night?
It is. You know, you're talking about an offense that had scored 33 on Tulane. I think that's the most Tulane's given up. They scored 41 on Wake Forest. Mm-hmm. I think that's the most they'd given up. And then we turn around and hold them to 23, particularly holding them to field goals in the red zone. Yeah. Versus a team, like I said, they're functioning at a really high level offensively, running and throwing. They're talented, they're old, and their quarterback's playing at a high level. So I was really pleased with it. Like I said, we thought we had some opportunities to get in third and long a few more times that could have swung the game. We thought we might could have gotten a takeaway to swing the game, but we didn't. And then, you know, if we get a few conversions on third down, whether we execute better, whether we get a call, whatever, you know, you get two or three more third down conversions, which were there for the taking. You know, we had several called back with penalties, and then we dropped a pass on one, hit us right in the hands. That game is different. But we got to start making those plays, and I think we're about to. We've got to have, like I said, we got to be able to, when things aren't just perfect, we got to be able to make some off-schedule plays at quarterback. And I think the health of our, you know, all three of our kids, from our ankles to our feet to our toes and all the things, I think we're going to be able to move around and make some off-schedule plays at quarterback for this week, which will be a huge boost, you know, for our football team.
And to underscore your point about holding them to 23 points, that you've talked about, if you just hang on to the football, you give other teams less opportunities. Well, that certainly was big this weekend. And I don't know if you can get to this before the commercial break, Coach, or not, but one of the things that seemed to upset people was the call on fourth down, which, you know, I see it both ways. You know, no matter when you decided to punt the ball rather than to go for it on fourth and long, and people who would bring it up, I'd say it certainly makes sense. I mean, either way would make sense.
Well, let's hold that response because we're about to hit a hard break. Coach, if you'll hang on, we'll let you answer that on the other side of the break. We're just about to hit it. I want to remind everybody quickly about the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast. You can hear it every day on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, or you can tell Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. And also want to say hello to our friends at Genesis of Hattiesburg, the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour. Genesis sedans and SUVs are absolutely fine, as is their new Genesis showroom, the only one in Mississippi, Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. More with head football coach Will Hall on the other side of this short 3-minute break.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
Always enjoy our conversations with Coach Will Hall each and every Monday. We're grateful to him for coming on the show every week. This segment is sponsored by Campus Bookmart and campusbookmart.net, where you'll find all your Southern Miss apparel. I was in there Friday, and Miss Kathleen's doing great, I'm happy to say. So get ready for Christmas. Make sure you make a visit to Campus Bookmart. All right, Coach, I'm going to let you answer that question. Kelly was asking about the decision to punt with – go ahead, Kelly. You fill it in.
Yeah, and you –
I got it.
Yeah, okay. Go ahead. Go ahead, Coach.
You mean just answer it?
Well,
yeah, so, you know, I think you can make an argument on going either way.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, with the data that we had, I mean, there's over 4 minutes left. We had one timeout plus the 2-minute timeout, so we had two timeouts. It was 4th and 12. You know, on a 4th and 12 situation with a quarterback, you know, who's got a lower extremity injury and can't move around, doesn't have the ability to extend plays, you're going to put them in a definite pass rush situation with a 2-score lead with 4 minutes to go. I just felt like we would be putting the game all the way down to one play right there in a very disadvantaged situation for us with all those reasons I just told you. So to me, I've always believed you extend the game as much as you can. So we punt right there. A lot of things can happen if you punt. They can muff the punt, then they get the ball back. We were really close to getting the ball out a few times on them. You know they're going to run it. Maybe we force a turnover and create a much more advantageous situation relative to, you know, what our kids can do in that moment. And, you know, it didn't work. So obviously it was wrong. But I just felt, you know, you go for it on 4th and 12 right there, and you don't get it, the game's over, you know, right then and there. And I wanted to extend the game and give more of our kids opportunities to put us in situation to win the game than just putting it on a 4th and 12 drop back pass situation with a young man, you know, who toughed it out and played, but just having trouble moving right now, and so. That's why I did what I did. I stand by it. If I had to do it again, I'd do the same thing. With the with the circumstances being what they were.
Well, and really your defense, you kind of talked about as a whole, the defense was playing pretty well, you know, Saturday. So, to me,
you
know, like you said, either way, I just didn't have it. But for some reason, people just get fired up about things like that. And like you say, it's always a great call if it works.
People are mad at me because we haven't won yet, and we're fixing to win. And I get it, man. I'm mad, too. But if we punt it, they could muff the punt. If they could turn it over. If we force them to punt, we could block the punt. We could return the punt. You're just providing more opportunities to your team and your players to win the game than just trying to get a 4th-and-12 right there in a situation that I didn't think we had enough reasons to do that. So, there's my reasons for why we did what we did.
Coach, you had an exceptionally talented kid last year in Frank Gore Jr. running the football for you and really helped in a lot of ways. And the running game has been a struggle all year, 37 net yards Saturday night. And I don't want you to just throw blame in any one direction. But how much of that is the lack of a Frank Gore Jr. being on the team, and how much of it is, you know, just problems with your offensive line?
Yeah, I don't think certainly we love Frank and we think the world of him. But when you look at our rush attempts the other night, we had a 27-yard run, a 26-yard run. We had two negative runs of -1 and -3. We only had 13 run calls in the game. We only had 40 snaps because of lack of conversions, and then they did a good job milking the clock and holding the ball. We only snapped the ball 40 times. So 8 of those were third downs. So we had 32 first and second down calls, and on 13 of them we ran it, and we ran it pretty successfully. The reason those numbers are so low is because of those 5 sacks.
Right.
You know, because those count in your rush yards. And
I thought Dreek Clark played pretty well.
He did. Dreek and Kenyon both rarely get tackled by the first guy. The last 3 weeks, they're playing an extreme, and they're playing. They're playing as good as anybody on our team, Drake and Kenyon are.
Yeah.
I mean, if you just look at when the ball's in their hands and if the first guy tackles them or not, they're doing it. So the lack of rush yards, number one, the sacks factor into that. Number two, the amount of times we're running the ball right now, we just didn't have as many. We would like to run the ball more. I think you'll see that as the season continues, specifically with the ability of our quarterbacks to do that. And so that's that. You take away, what do we lose in sack yards? Like over 40 yards. So, you add those to it and a limited amount of rushing, we'd have been probably averaging over 5 yards a carry, which is good.
So now you're heading over to Monroe later on this week and playing the team that really, quite honestly, is the talk of the conference. The Warhawks not projected to do very well at all this year, and seemed everything they're touching is turning to gold. So how do you beat this Warhawk team, who is as hot as any team has ever been in this league?
Yeah, so they're 4-1. They've done a good job. They're playing really good defense. They've been very opportunistic with getting takeaways. We've got to play defense the way we played this past week. Hopefully we can get another takeaway and add that to our arsenal. And then offensively, like I said, for us, we've got to protect the football like we did. And then we've got to get more conversions to stay on the field. And we've got to get more off-schedule plays at quarterback. I mean, that's the way football is played now from the elite level. We've talked a lot about the Bengals and Ravens. I mean, obviously that game swung on an off-schedule play by a quarterback.
Right.
And we're going to be able to do that. Our kids are going to be healthy again, which is good. And that's going to add a lot of juice to us and a big kick for us. But we got to protect the football. We've got to get some more conversions. We got to get more off-schedule plays at quarterback. And then we've got to roll that performance over defensively. And then we got to keep playing good in the kicking game, outside of the missed extra point, which is inexcusable. The last 2 weeks we've played at a high level in the kicking game. We got to do that again. And I certainly expect us to. We're going to have a really good week. And I'm excited to get this thing going. I think we're really, really close, and I think it's about to happen.
Yeah, the Warhawks changed quarterbacks after a couple weeks ago. They changed to Armenta, I believe is his name. And he's been slinging the ball. Sorry?
I said that's correct.
Okay, sorry. What are your thoughts on him, early thoughts on him? I know it's just Monday, but what's your early thoughts on him?
No, Monday's fine, man. By Monday, I've watched a whole lot of tape.
Yep.
He seems to be very comfortable. He's operating, I think, a little better for him right now. He has put the ball in danger a little bit, and, he can move around. They're both executing their offense good enough for them to win. You know, they're right now a team that is winning with winning the turnover battle and playing really good defense. And, that's kind of been their formula. They're also playing good in the kicking game.
Coach, I guess it's easier to coach when things are going the way you want them to go. When you're struggling the way the team is now, what was your message? What is your message to your football team this week as they prepare for what looks like will be another tough road game?
Yeah, we just got to keep digging, Bob. Like I said, man, our kids know how close we are. Our kids know the ability that we have. Our kids know what challenges we've had that we can't control, but they also know what we can control and what we can fix, and we've made great strides in doing that. We've had a bunch of kids out that are about to be back. They know what's still in front of us, and they believe. I think that's obvious how much our kids believe, how hard they play, and like I said, we don't have the issues that's going on all over the country with people opting out and all that stuff. Fortunately, we've never had that here. We got good kids, and it has been. We got to play better to get more breaks. Obviously there were some critical breaks of the night that went against us, and we got to play better to get those. And I think that's fixing to start happening. And I'm excited to play this week with this bunch. I love coaching this team, and I think it's going to be a really fun back half of the season. I really do. I see where we're headed, and I see what's coming, and I'm excited to get up there on Saturday and play for their homecoming, Kelly. Another homecoming game for us. So,
They made a mistake.
Get there and get it going.
They made that mistake, scheduling you for homecoming. That was a big mistake.
All right, Coach. We sure appreciate you joining us every Monday, and we'll look forward to a conversation next Monday about the Monroe game. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. I always appreciate y'all, man, to the top.
All right. Coach Will Hall, everybody, who continues to be optimistic and push forward. And, when you're coaching a football team and you're 1-4, that's all you can't go get down in the mouth to your players. You got to keep pushing forward.
Yeah. I mean, you don't want to ever just, say, this is a wash. They still got 7 games left. They're going to have to win 5 out of the next 7 to get to a bowl game, which is going to be difficult. But it's going to start on Saturday against ULM, who you feel like you match up well against defensively, especially if they can hold us to a low-scoring game and the offense can start moving the ball. You feel like they're in a pretty good position to win this game on Saturday.
All right, Kelly, did you feel a little more masculine after you drank a Pabst? I know you're used to those little wine fritzers and stuff, but...
Well, I would tell you how I felt, but after what I said in the opening segment...
Yeah, let's forget it. I think we've probably talked enough about that.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Lee Roberts is there.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, I want to thank head football coach Will Hall joining us first half of the show. This segment sponsored by 4th Street Bar and Grill. Right there in the shadow of the rock, great lunches 5 days a week, great meals anytime you want to go down in the evening. And, of course, they've always got some good sporting events on the TV.
And
tonight, probably watch the Saints.
Pabst Blue Ribbon Beer.
Pabst Blue Ribbon Beer and New Orleans Saints football tonight at the 4th Street Bar and Grill.
As long as they don't look at any point of the game at Patrick Mahomes, look at him. Then they may have a chance.
And Lord knows, don't touch him.
Yeah, don't touch him. Look at him. Look in the opposite direction.
Put your hands
and
on
there might not
Mahomes.
Be a rough in the past.
I just hope tonight, because it rarely happens, I just hope tonight they'll just give us one little picture of of
don't say it. Don't even.
What's her name?
No, I don't want to hear about it.
Yeah, Taylor Swift.
Bail me out of this, Lee. I don't really want to talk about the Taylor girl.
I think Lee's a Swiftie, though.
Yeah, not a Swiftie. Come on, not a Swiftie at all.
What would you do to Taylor Swift on the pickleball court, Lee?
I would say I plead the fifth, if you could say that. I would step back. Wouldn't even go there.
All right, Lee, the frustration continues, and I know probably nobody any more frustrated than you. In watching the game Saturday night, talking about quarterback play, I realize Rodemaker's a little banged up, but he was under a lot of pressure. He got hit hard a lot, and I thought Dima made a really good point off air. It's like the receivers are not separating themselves very effectively from the defensive backs, which you know a lot more about quarterbacking than me. I mean, if you're getting knocked down, if you're getting sacked five times, knocked down another four or five times, and your receivers are not separating very well, that's a hard night on a quarterback, is it not?
Man, it's an extremely hard night. It's one of those nights where you want to end quickly and, you know, but for Southern Miss, I mean, they got really close there in the second quarter, and then just couldn't get anything going offensively in the second half. And yeah, for Rodemaker, man, I thought throwing the football, he was accurate. You know, again, not a ton of numbers, not a ton of yards. We're still struggling to get the football in the end zone throwing wise. I mean, we just, whether it be the receivers not getting separation, or we don't have enough time to get the ball to them, or, I mean, bottom line, like, really no position is making a big play. And when we do make a big play, wherever it is, it gets called back. And that happened, you know, multiple times on Saturday. So, yeah, I know you said I'm frustrated, but I know Rodemaker's got to be frustrated. Obviously, the coaching staff. I mean, everybody that's connected with this program is frustrated because – you feel like you're doing everything right. The ball's just continuing not to bounce your way. But it seems like we get everybody's best as well. I mean, we're going up against Louisiana on Saturday, and, you know, we get a really good Louisiana team that's pinning their ears coming back against us. And, you know, defensively, I felt like we slowed them down at times, but just could not get the offensive side really rolling, just unfortunately just the way it was that night.
And is it a fair observation, too, that when you're – when your opponent has the ball for almost 42 minutes, it's a little wonder in the late in the third quarter, fourth quarter, that they're just wearing you down. I mean, how much energy can 11 defensive players have to be on the field for 42 minutes?
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. I mean, I've never really seen a game where the time of possession was that lopsided. And, I mean, that was the way it was. And only ran 39 plays offensively, just – I mean, that's tough, you know. I mean, just never can get anything going. And, you know, one of those or two of those could have extended drives if, yes, one, you complete the fake punt. You know, unfortunately, that was called back. And then the big throw to Karen Heath down the middle, if that one's caught and then that third down is converted, then you stay on the field. So, I mean, a couple things that really play into that. But, yeah, offensively, a really low night as far as play go, and man, just team just never really could get in sync.
Lee, I just want to go back to the receivers. To me, it's shocking, and I wanted to ask your opinion. Is it shocking to you to think that when you look at the three wide receivers on the team, Larry Simmons, Ty Mims, Dennis Jackson, none of them have a touchdown through 5 weeks?
It's bizarre. I mean, we only have four touchdown, you know, passes on the year
right.
as well.
So two are to Kyron Heath. One is to Davis Dalton, the other one's to Clay.
Yeah, so, I mean, you got a tight end, you've got a running back, and then one wide receiver. That's just not what you would think in a system. And I know Coach Hall, he's an offensive-minded guy. Chip Long, I think, has a great track record as well. And, man, at some point, again, these guys just have to – they've got to make plays. Wide receivers, they've got to figure out a way to get separation. Quarterbacks – have to move out of the pocket, extend the play, keep their eyes down the field. And I don't know. I'm really just kind of at a loss for words just because, and you watch the game like I have, and it's tough. You want this team to do so well, and just things aren't. And, you know, the losses just continue to pile up, and very, very tough and very difficult. But, yeah, you would think that with those three receivers not having touchdown passes, the record would speak for itself, and that's exactly what's happened.
And we've talked about, and I'll throw it to you, Kelly, we've talked about how bad the running game has been, but Drake Clark has more rushing yards than any of the receivers do receiving yards. So, I mean, it's just an unbelievable, bizarre, like you're saying, thing of the offense that we watched this team in fall camp. You know, they weren't, Jackson darting, slinging 500-yard passing games every week. Nobody expects that. But they have to have some kind of help on the passing front, because everybody wants to talk about the running front, but the passing isn't getting any work done either, Kelly.
No, I agree. And, back to your point on Drake Clark, only 7 rushes, but, man, when he touched the football, he was averaging almost 9 yards a carry.
Yeah.
We just didn't, didn't get enough touches to him or Kenyon Clay. Half of Kenyon Clay's touches Saturday ended up going into the end zone, but he only had 5 carries. So 12 rushes by our 2 running backs, again, just makes it a tough night. And again, all of that kind of comes back to not able to convert on third downs. One third down conversion on Saturday has kind of been the way it's been the last 3 weeks. But yeah, very interesting that your running back has more rushing yards than any of the receivers that has receiving. So very, very good observation, but a tough thing too to kind of swallow.
Well, Lee Roberts, I'm going to ask you the question that I got more often than any other question I got on Saturday at our tailgating behind Southern Hall, is that you look at Louisiana Monroe, who's the upcoming opponent, first-year coach, 72 new players, and they're sitting at the top of the standings in the Western Conference, when it's not happening. How can it happen to a school of all schools? You might think, okay, I can maybe see it at James Madison, I can maybe see it at Marshall, but Louisiana Monroe, it's happening. How do you explain that? What is a legitimate, logical answer as to how this can be happening at Monroe and why it's not happening here?
The only thing I could think is just the guys believe there. You wouldn't think that a Monroe team would be 4-1. And they knocked off a James Madison team that put 70 points on North Carolina. So it's not like they're beating teams that aren't very good. They've had a couple wins by a short margin or a low margin. But, yeah, this is their best start since, I think, early in the 90s. So a team that has definitely improved. And, yeah, overnight, you're right, 72 new players, first-year head coach. That's quite an improvement. Either he has just done a tremendous job bringing in guys, or they bought into the system extremely fast. But we've got our hands full once again this weekend going into Monroe for sure.
Are you worried, Lee, at any point that our Southern Miss players will not believe anymore?
I'm not. These are scholarship players. These are guys that want to be here. They chose Southern Miss over somebody else. It wasn't like Southern Miss was their only option or last option. And a lot of these guys are guys that tried the SEC and decided they wanted to come home and finish their career. And it's not like we're not talented. I think we got talented athletes in every position. And no, these guys are not going to give up. I don't ever believe you'll see kids just stop playing the game that they grew up loving. No. Again, I can't put my finger on what has really just kind of transpired over the first 5 weeks, because when we started this year, I'd have never thought we'd have 1 win at this point. I thought at the minimum we would have 3 at this point. And, it's really turned differently than what I thought it would be. So, but no, these guys are not going to quit. I don't ever believe they will do that in the course of this season.
All right, just about 30 seconds left. I don't know that you were ever in this position, but here's the obvious question. What has to happen to turn this around, Lee?
You got to have somebody step up, whether it's on the defensive side, getting the offense going, or somebody on the offensive side stepping up. I think you got to have one of those quarterbacks. They're obviously the leader of this team. And I know Rodemaker is not a guy that is very vocal, but he's a guy that has shown you when he has protection, he can deliver. Ethan Crawford, a guy that's talented, will he be the guy? I think if he's healthy, he's a guy that can go and he can really transform this team. Will it be him this week? I'm not sure, but I think it's got to start. Any team that is successful, they've got a quarterback behind center that is a playmaker. And I think it's got to be one of those three.
All right, buddy. Hopefully next Monday we'll have a pleasant conversation about how things got turned around.
Hey, I hope we can. So I really do. I hope this Southern Miss team will take it to Monroe this weekend and figure things out. We'll have a really good conversation next week. I look forward to that.
All right, my friend. We do too. Lee Roberts, everybody. Appreciate him being on our show every week. When we come back, some final thoughts as we kick off a new week of the Super Talk Eagle Hour.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
DBAT sponsors this segment of the Super Talk Eagle Hour, and that's where you can take your children for baseball and softball training. Also, go to the Pro Shop. Christmas shopping. DBAT has everything you would want for a baseball or softball player in your family. Mobay Beignet Company, 2902 Hardy Street, Hattiesburg. Check out their Facebook page. Enjoy their delicious dessert 7 days a week. Great coffees, cold and hot, and just a fun place to go. Mobay Beignet right across the street from the Southern Miss campus. All right, we're going to go around the horn here real quick. I'm going to start with you, Dima. Your thoughts, 1-4, tough game coming up, frustration close to a boiling point.
Yeah, I just want to clear up one thing I said just a second ago. Larry Simmons actually has more receiving yards than Rodriguez Clark. I misread it. But he only leads by 6 yards, so it's basically tied. But I just wanted to clear that up. I didn't want to get called out on that. But my thoughts on the game, I don't know. I mean, my personal thought is I feel like they played one of their best games of the year, and it's just not good enough to beat a team like Louisiana. And that's not a knock on Southern Miss, Louisiana team. Louisiana is a really good football team. And maybe, you know, like Will's saying, they could have done more on offense and all this stuff. We talked last week about how good that Louisiana defense was, and they just couldn't move the ball on them. And I don't really fault them for that, you know, but there were opportunities in that game to win that game. But Louisiana, to me, was the better team, and they showed it, and that's why they won the game. But if you look at the yardage, I mean, you think of the score, 23-13. If you look at the yardage between both of the teams, I mean, 410 offensive yards for Louisiana to 183 for Southern Miss. So I thought the Cajuns really controlled the game. I didn't think there was ever really the game wasn't really ever in doubt.
But those numbers, Deemer, are about proportionate in to time of possession.
You know? Can make that argument.
Yeah. So the problem right now with the Eagles, the defense played pretty well.
Yeah, Saturday. I think they played the best game of the season.
Yeah. As a unit, the team is just struggling offensively. They have all year. As we talked about, the receivers aren't getting any separation, too much pressure on the quarterback, and I think that as collectively has to clean up if they're going to compete and win and beat anybody the rest of the way.
And now one of the games that I think all of us picked as a win at the start of the year looks pretty ominous.
Yeah, but to be fair, I think a lot of people in the Sun Belt, whoever they're cheering for, thought that that would be a win.
Yeah.
And the Warhawks are a completely different team.
You know, I always go back. I interviewed Coach Brian Vincent, head coach at ULM, at Sun Belt Media Days. And I came out of that room, and Sam Sklar, who used to be with the Hattiesburg American.
You told me this, too.
I told him, I said, you know what? I'm kind of bought into what he was saying. Because, you know, he didn't say we were going to be the best team in the Sun Belt. He didn't say we were going to, like, go 12-0. He said, I just feel like these guys might believe that we can win. I think he said 2 or 3 games. Look at them now, 4-1. They beat James Madison, the biggest win probably in their program. And now they welcome Southern Miss as 7-point favorites over the Golden Eagles this Saturday in Monroe.
That's a heck of a job he's done.
You got
to
give
him
credit.
With all due respect to Monroe, that's a tough place to go build a football program. And kudos to the man.
Monroe is a tough place to build any kind of program. I mean, from a budget standpoint, from a facility standpoint, everything.
Yeah.
So.
All right, go ahead and make the announcement. I've been waiting on this all week.
Yeah, so on Friday, I didn't have the scores from the last week.
Our college picks.
For super picks. But I got them all now. So this is all updated scores going into this week. In third place, drum roll, anybody? Okay. Is Dima Mixon with 45 points. So he is down, and I am down in last place. And you want to give me first place or second place first?
Let's do second place.
Okay, first. Second place is Mr. Kelly Sanders with 47 points.
Well, let me say that. That leaves one person, doesn't it?
First place is you with 49. So it is a razor-thin margin, one 2 points separating everybody.
And where was Kelly?
Second.
Hey, I was third.
Yeah, no, he made a significant. He beat the crap out of us last weekend. I think you picked every game right except for one.
Well, I told you guys when we were at Southern Maine Corps. I said Arkansas State is going to beat.
I mentioned I'm the defending champion for picks.
We got a lot of season left.
I understand why you guys took South Al because they were the sexy pick, all the high powered offense. But Arkansas State, man, they have a knack for winning those two, and against us. You know, they just have a knack for winning those two.
That's our next two
games,
right? Monroe and then Arkansas State.
Correct.
Homecoming at Monroe.
Homecoming
and then
at home.
Then homecoming in Hattiesburg.
Homecoming. And we're the homecoming opponent for people.
Yes.
That's hard to get used to.
That's two road games in a row because we were also the homecoming for Jacksonville State.
Yeah,
as well.
Aren't they the homecoming for James Madison too? When they go there in a couple of weeks, I think they are.
I'm pretty sure we are.
I'm gonna Google that.
Now, Bob, you and Angela were college sweethearts. Are you got any homecoming plans at Southern Miss in a couple of weeks?
No,
really. Where you spent last homecoming in the recliner with a cold PBR, right?
That's correct. Okay. That's where I'm going to be at homecoming. I have a feeling that's exactly where I'm going to be.
Well, there's only about five people left alive from your class.
James
anyway.
Madison that's is right. Hosting Southern Miss for their homecoming at the end of October. Okay.
By the way, baseball got a big ovation Saturday night.
They did. You're right.
Maybe the biggest ovation of all, you know.
I think it was louder for them.
Did you want to comment on that, Dima?
I thought it might have been a tad bit louder than the team running on the field.
February 14th, is that?
Back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Thank you for listening. Southern Miss.
To the top.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.